This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDK.
All right, time to talk gardening with the Organic Gardeners from TribLive.com. Of course, it is Doug Oster, EverybodyGardens.com, Jessica Walliser, and they've got a lot to talk about, appearances up and coming, whatever they're writing about, and of course, is there a book in the works? You're going to find out all of that. And of course, the whole idea behind the program is for you to call in with those gardening questions, and the early bird does get the worm, so get on the phone right now and give us a call, 866-391-1020. And let's begin by giving away a $25 gift certificate to one of our great sponsors who's been here since day one, the Sorgel family out in Wexford. That's 412-922-1020. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Doug and Jess. Good morning.
Good morning. Doug Oster from the Tribune Review and EverybodyGardens.com.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
Can you remember a season that's gone this long without a frost?
And can I remember a Sunday morning that the kayak wasn't attached to the back of your truck? This is the first
a nice
week
day like
in
today.
Forever where it's going to be a beautiful day and you haven't had your kayak, but you have some family stuff today, so that's
yeah,
I'm
maybe,
sure the fish
maybe,
will forgive you
maybe
today.
This afternoon
the fish will forgive you
I'm
today.
On vacation. I'm officially on vacation, so
what are you doing here?
Well, I don't want to miss the show.
This is fun. This is not really
yeah,
work,
this isn't
right
work.
Yeah, yeah, but
it's
it is
7
you're
in
right.
the morning, but it's not work.
It is a super long growing season. Like, it is crazy. I was just at a friend of mine's farm earlier this week, and she was still picking tomatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
I talked
crazy.
To somebody yesterday,
amazing.
Too, that was still picking tomatoes. I'm not. Mine are done.
Mine are done, too.
It was some people, from what I was hearing, had the best tomato season, but others, like me, had a tough year because of the rain.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then I was talking to somebody yesterday, lost most of their garlic due to the rain, just kind of rotted away. So everybody had a different season. But, yeah, a long one. And
it's still going. There's frost in the long range forecast.
Still going.
So we get a couple.
I'm excited to have all my cool weather crops, and I'm going to continue to plant those. I'm, you know, of course, still planting garlic. I call myself Little Johnny Garlic Seed because I have 7 pounds of garlic, and I'm giving it out to different people. Last night I gave it to somebody I give annually, Sister Trudy. I was at the Change of Heart Gala as a celebrity bartender. And
are you hungover today? Oh, no, you were serving. You weren't
I was
drinking.
Serving.
Gotcha.
I wasn't
okay.
drinking
okay.
much. And so it's just, she's We had I've been doing the event for I don't know how many years, but I met her in the kitchen years ago, and she was making hors d'oeuvres for the event, and we started talking garlic, and I convinced her to plant some back then, and now every year she plants garlic, so it's just fun. I got the garlic from the Garlic King of Millvale.
Okay.
My friend Tom
Walker.
So
you're a pusher now. You're a garlic pusher.
Well, he said, I told him about who was some of the garlic was going to go to, and he says, what are you trying to stink your way to heaven? Anyway, I can get there.
You got to buy some bribes with the big guy somehow.
Yeah. It's just so much fun to go around and give the garlic to people.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I got
I call you like the little garlic fairy, you know, just running around sprinkling garlic dust wherever you go. You should do that. You should get some like garlic powder and sprinkle it over their head when you give them the garlic clothes. Like you've been christened by the garlic fairy, you know. Yeah, my garlic's all in. I'm good to go on that, which is really great.
Do you need any more or not? I didn't think
you
did. Okay,
I don't.
Good.
No, I mean, I
didn't throw it
enough
in the car today, but
yeah,
I've got a bunch left. And I'm going to fishing camp this week, so it's in Amish country, and I'm going to save some for the Amish caretaker and the woman who takes care of the inside of the house that lives across the street. And they're always excited, whether I come spring or fall, with whatever I bring for them to plant. And it's fun. It's just fun to see when you give away plants to anybody, plants or bulbs or whatever it is, and maybe you get them hooked, or just to see how they do with it. You know, I love to get the report when I go back.
Especially when you only see somebody once a year like that, to just sort of, that's like the connecting thread for you through all of that, which is great. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Actually, I'm not excited for a frost, because when frost happens, I have to move all those big giant plants on my patio down into the garage, which is not much fun. But I am excited for frost because we have the best Brussels sprout crop probably that we have ever grown. We have about 6 plants, and they've got to be
awesome,
almost up to my shoulder. Like they're huge, loaded with big fat sprouts. But I want them to get sweetened by frost a few times before we harvest them. And I'm going to, you know, since there's so darn many of them, they'll be in the garden for a long time.
Yeah, I wonder how long you'll be able to go. I bet you'll be able to go to at least January,
I hope
right?
so. I mean, it depends on how cold December gets, but, you
when
know.
Would you, when if when the weather really breaks, might get to really cold, when would you think it'd be cold enough where you'd have to take all your Brussels sprouts out, where you'd have to harvest?
Like temperature-wise, how cold?
17 or something like that?
Yeah, I'd say even down into the 20s on a regular basis, like during the days and things too, you would want, like they can handle a cold night, but you know, consistently cold days like that, I would get them out of there. And what I do basically is I just cut the whole stem, remove all the leaves, but leave all the sprouts on the stem. And then I just take that whole big stem and I put it in a brown paper bag and put it in the bottom of the crisper drawer of the fridge. And they can just sit in there. And then whenever you want the sprouts, you just break them off.
What is your favorite way to make them?
You can also put them in the like a shed or something that way too, or a garage.
Like unheated space.
Unheated, but not going to be like super
cold,
hard freezing. Right. My favorite way, oh my gosh, I just love them like halved and cooked with some garlic and onions.
That's what I like to do.
I also like them like roasted. And like cut in half and then roasted, coated in olive oil and roasted in the oven, a little mustard seed on them, maybe some paprika. Yeah, lots of ways to make
bacon.
A little bit of bacon, a little bit of crumbled bacon, never hurt anything.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Especially anything in the cabbage family is made better with bacon, for sure.
Well, I had an interesting story that posted on the web where I interviewed somebody. It was their very first time planting bulbs. Shelby Stockline is 21 years old. She's the greenhouse manager at Chapin's Greenhouse, and she had just planted her first bulbs the fall before and got to see parrot tulips bloom and large mixed crocus bloom. And then I talked to this woman who has the longest last name I've ever heard of, Joanne Van Den Berg Olms, who runs John Sheeper's Beauty from Bulbs and Van Engelen Wholesale Bulbs, whose whole life has been revolving around bulbs. Her family has, you know, her Dutch family has sold bulbs since the beginning of time, basically. And it was wonderful to talk to both of those people, and they both had the same kind of enthusiasm for bulbs, even though one was just starting her journey of discovery, and then another one spent her, even though she spent her whole life planting bulbs, the things that she said about what she gets out of those spring bulbs, those spring blooms, was really wonderful. She had just great things to say, and I'm almost now begging people to plant bulbs, you know, because every year the nurseries, they're basically have less and less because people aren't planting them like we used to. And I just love doing it. And I'm telling you, that bulb auger, for me, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just having an auger and putting on a drill, and you could put in 100 tulips in, you know, 10, 15 minutes. It makes it easy. So if you're so inclined, put some bulbs in, and you'll be so glad you did in the spring. There's a daffodil called lingerie that's a double that I have to have.
I'm not even going to ask.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, a quick dress change, and we'll be right back.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's say congratulations to Joyce from Pittsburgh, the winner of that $25 gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford. Lots of calls for these two who happen to be Doug and Jess. The Organic Gardeners are on the air. Let's begin with Jim in the South Hills. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Good morning.
Good, Rob. Jessica, Doug, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Well, not to let you feel bad or nothing, yesterday I picked kale, big tomatoes, little tomatoes, zucchini, and red hot peppers.
Hang up
nice.
On them, Rob.
Nice.
And my garden's still going, but I got to rip it out today just because I got some manure coming.
Ah,
and I wanted to know what procedure to do with the manure and how thick should I put it on. And the garden will be rototilled today. But the concept is, that when do I rototill the manure into the garden once this, you know, basically the winter's over?
Okay, so let me ask you this first. Is this manure already aged and composted?
To my knowledge, yes. The gentleman said it's real good manure, meaning, you know, it's been aged.
Okay, so
that's critical, though.
It is, like, I can't even
assume it's not. Okay, let's just assume it's not. Then what's the procedure? Don't get it?
Yeah, well, no, you can still get it. But the deal is that the USDA's National Organic Standards, that manure, at very, very minimum, has to be composted properly for a minimum of 120 days before it comes in contact with any food crops. I always say it should be composted for at least a year because of potential pathogens like E. coli and all those other issues. You really have to be careful when using manure in the garden. So I would always say, tell people, unless you know the exact source and how long it's sitting there, I mean, are they adding fresh manure to the top of the pile? If they're doing that, you could have cross-contamination even with the manure that's been sitting there for a year.
Is this coming from like a...
It's coming from South Park.
Like a guy or like an...
Yeah, well, it's coming from a farm out in South Park. The gentleman has a lot of horses out there.
Okay.
That he boards, and we were just told people use it for their crops.
Yeah. So if you're
putting it on now.
If you're putting it on in the fall and you know that it's old and aged manure...
older than 120 days.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, but that's composted properly. So okay. When they say 120 days, they mean composted properly. They just don't mean it can't just come out and sit there for 120 days.
I can't believe that you're taking your garden out in this weather. I know that things have to be done, but oh, man.
Can't you just let that manure sit in a pile somewhere
for a while?
Yeah, and
then put it on it when the season actually ends and go for, like, the world record longest season ever.
Oh, God, that's what my wife said. She says... She's tired of vegetables. She says, all we're doing.
Oh, jeez.
She says, where does this end? She says, we're at the point we're giving his stuff away.
Well, that's good. Give it to the food pantry, you know?
No, there's a lot of food pantries in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
So if I put it on the garden, how thick do I put it on?
Well, I wouldn't do too much because if you get real high nitrogen in there, then you're... crops that produce flowers and fruit, such as those tomatoes and peppers.
Yeah.
If you have too much nitrogen on there from manure, that's going to sacrifice the fruit and flower production because you're going to have these big, tall, lush, super green plants with no fruits or vegetables. So I would say maybe an inch and a half.
Yeah, I was going to double that. I was going to say 3 inches. But
okay, now let's say I put it on. When do I turn it into the ground? Next spring?
I would actually, okay, this is a big, long, complicated thing, which I'll make it short and sweet. I would actually turn it in now. And the reason being because the microbes in your soil, if you're going to till now, I would wait till you have that manure spread and then till it in. Because those microbes in the soil are going to help break down any pathogen issues in there. So if you do put it on your garden this fall, you work it into the soil, that's going to help break it down.
And I was thinking,
the soil's already been, today it will be technically all turned as far as being turned.
Yeah.
So I've got the soil tilled. Now I put this manure on.
Yeah.
Now do I automatically till it again?
I personally would. I don't think it's like super wrong for you to not, but I just think you're going to get, because if you just put it on the top, the nutrients are going to take longer to be released because the microbial action isn't that as good
on
the top of the
soil. The grind itself plus whatever's in the grind will help break everything down and make sure it's been at least composted for 120 days.
That would be the ideal situation.
Leave a little corner with that kale in there, and then you might be picking kale all the way till like January.
So. Yeah.
Okay, one more quick question. These little bugs that are they're like lightning bugs. What are those things?
They could be lightning bugs.
We have them on our house when the sun comes out and beats up against the garage door. It's loaded with these. They look like little lightning bugs.
Are you sure you're not thinking about ladybugs?
Well, no, lightning bugs. You know, with the little tail that flares at night. You know, the kids.
Yeah.
Call them what? Flycatchers or something today?
Yeah, no, I know what ladybugs are, but I'm trying to think of something that would be collected on the outside of your house like that,
these are all over our house. Whenever the sun comes out, the garage door gets heated, the back wall gets heated. They look like the stink. They look like they took the place of stink bugs.
Yeah, so I wonder if they're box elder bugs. So I would go, do you have online, you have access to the internet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Google box elder bugs and see if that's what they are. Because box elder bugs are another insect that comes, you know, tries to overwinter in our house and will collect like that. They're not a big deal. They don't eat your house. They don't bite people. That's just where they like to overwinter. So they're not problematic, but they are just considered a nuisance, basically.
Okay, some of those big tomatoes I picked, Doug, they're from your seeds, too, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't remember me. I met you at the garden, the home show.
Right.
You gave me some seeds, and I'm still using them.
I'm so excited.
Okay, I'll let somebody else get on the phone.
So excited for you. What a great season for him, man. That's great.
I know, right? I know, when you're tired of vegetables.
I would never tear that garden. Too many vegetables. There's no such thing. I'd never tear that garden out. Happy wife, happy life.
One more quick recommendation, though, for him and anybody else listening that's talking about putting manure on the garden. Please use gloves when you do it and wash up very well afterwards because you don't want to risk any pathogen. So just be careful when you're spreading it as well. Okay, that's it. I'm done with my manure safety rant.
Hey, let's talk to
Manure Safety with Jessica Walliser.
It's Anita. Hey, Anita, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. Hey, two things.
Hey, Anita, I called you yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, your voicemail's not set up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Call me later.
Hang up on her, Rob.
No, don't do that.
Doug. Hey, I bought a native sweet spire plant, and I was wondering if there's anything, are there any problems with sweet spires, like any known pathogens or bugs that like sweet spire that I need to know?
No, I mean, I have two of them at my house, and they're never touched by anything. I mean, occasionally a Japanese beetle might nibble on them a little bit, but they're certainly not a favorite of the Japanese beetle. I've never had any problems with mine whatsoever.
What does it look like?
Virginia sweet spire?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The red coloration in the fall is lovely. It's a beautiful white panicles, creamy white panicles of flowers. In the late spring, and then in the fall, it turns a beautiful, beautiful red. So,
yes,
it's an all around good plant, and it's a great native plant as well. So, if you're looking for something that's tough and native, where did you plant yours?
Near the garden.
Nice. And do you have other flowering shrubs nearby, or is it just sort of there by itself?
No, it's there, and then I have the butterfly bush. Well, the bird bath on the right of the sweet spire, and then on the other right, I have the butterfly bush there.
Nice.
So when I'm doing my dishes, I could see right out the window, I see all the beauty.
There you go. And, all the butterflies love all those plants as well, so you'll get to see those little insect beauty, too. Yeah. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say there's much to worry about with that.
Oh, good. And then second, with Halloween near, I thought I'd share some of nature's spooky plants. There was the Venus flytrap, which is native to North and South Carolina, and the white baneberry, which is Eastern North America. Uh-huh. And they said the berries look like doll's eyes, but it's poisonous to humans. Mm-hmm. But birds love it. And then the voodoo lily, I never saw this one. It was a snake-like lily,
mm-hmm.
and they said it's a night-blooming flower, and it smells like rotten meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dracula orchid, which is native to Mexico and South America. It has a dark cape.
Yeah, I think that's Nosferatu bloodius.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it is beautiful.
That's awesome. Well, thank you very
much for
sharing those Halloween plants with us. Those are all some pretty creepy and pretty great plants. And it's nice to hear that some of them are native to North America, which is always a good thing.
Lots more still to come. We'd love to hear from you with Doug and Jess. The number to dial to be on the program, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKA.com. We'll get the latest from CBS Radio News. That's just minutes away on your Sunday morning on KDK.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, 10th caller wins a gift certificate for $25 to Janoski's in Clinton, where Pumpkinland is underway today and every weekend in October begins at 10 o'clock. Number to dial to be on the program, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDKA.com. Dollar Bank Instant Access, it's from Tom. Friend gave me some Egyptian walking onion scapes a few weeks ago, and I suggested I plant them at the time, which I did. They now have green stalks, so should I pick them now, or are they like garlic and die down in the winter and come back next spring?
Yeah, they are cool plants, and I'm glad you got some. So you plant the little bulbs that are formed at the top of the stalk. They are a perennial onion, so they will sprout up sometimes in the fall. Just leave them go. Don't harvest them. They'll live like for many, many years in your garden. And what happens, they call them walking onions because that stalk that comes out the top that makes those mini bulbs on top of it will eventually fall over to the ground and they'll root. And then there'll be a new patch of Egyptian walking onions growing there. And so they kind of walk around your garden like that. So, and then what you can do is, because they do grow in a little clump like that, you can just pull a few of the small bulbs out throughout the growing season whenever you need to use them in the kitchen, and then leave the rest of them in there to, you know, propagate and continue the crop from year to year. So you can use them in the spring or now as just cut those little greens off, like you would harvest garlic greens and use, you know, snip them into soup or salad or something. Or you can actually harvest the bulbs. Or you can eat them raw like Doug does, right? And drive all the vampires away. But you can also eat the bulb, then just dig them out whenever you need them and use them that way. They're pretty great plants. And I love that they're a perennial vegetable too, because there's not a whole lot of them out there.
And I've seen a lot of spring bulbs, spring bunching onions for sale out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can still put those in. Oh, boy. This season has been, this end of the season. I just love this. I'm putting in all sorts of cool weather crops. It's fun. But help me out with this bulb. I had never heard of it before. And when I interviewed Joanne from John Sheepers, she told me about it. It's actually an heirloom. But pronounce that for
me. Well, I don't know. We were talking about this before the show.
Brodiae?
I think maybe Brodiae.
Brodiae, but their common name is fool's onions. But if you look at those online at John Sheeper's catalog, they're really cool because they're deer proof.
Woohoo!
They have like long wiry stems, and then the flowers can be just almost anything. Like they have one type that's just like this deep blue. And then just all sorts of crazy different shapes and forms. And it was like three different plants, and they kind of all put them into this scientific grouping because they're very similar. And again, I'd never heard of them before. It was something that she...
Are they star-shaped flowers?
Yeah, they're like little star-shaped flowers.
And is there one per flower stalk, or is it like a cluster of them?
It's like a cluster, but some are little... like look like more allium-esque.
Okay.
But then there's others that have really weird looking flowers that are I couldn't even explain. So
why don't you hook us up with some of those bulbs and we'll experiment with
them. I'm getting some sent to me and I'll report.
You share?
I'll report to you how they look next spring.
It's great that they're deer proof. I wonder though, my problem at my house in the front, especially where we have that rock retaining wall, and also in the back, are the chipmunks and the voles. So anytime I plant tulips or crocus, they get eaten. The bulbs themselves get eaten. They don't eat daffodils, so I always have stuck with daffodils out front.
I don't know how many I'm getting. So if I get some extra ones, yeah. I will. You can try them out there because I'm going to guess that since they are some way related to, I think, alliums.
Okay. Because they don't eat the alliums either, right. Obviously, because they're in the onion family and they have a very strong odor to them. So, So anyway, okay, I think we have a caller.
We have a few callers.
Excellent.
Congratulations to Pat from Squirrel Hill, winner of that gift certificate from Janoski's. Let's go to Dan in New Kensington for Doug and Jess. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
What's on your mind, Dan?
I'd like to know what to do with the raspberries over the winter. I've never grown them before.
Are they red or black?
They're red.
They're red. Okay. Do you know the variety name of them by chance?
They're everbears. I know that.
Okay. They're everbears. Okay. So you got, did you get two crops this year, like a spring one and then one later in the season?
I just planted them this year, and they produced all year, and they're still producing now.
Great. Oh, lucky you.
What's your address? Because I love raspberries.
He's like, no way am I sharing that, right? So what you want to do with those, their pruning is a little bit complicated with
red raspberries. But first you wait till the berries are gone, right? I mean, you pick all your berries, right?
Yeah, you pick all the berries.
They're still on there now.
Continue to pick them. So if the stem has produced berries, so if you can see the evidence of the berries, haven't been harvested from the end. Those stalks, and I would do this, actually not do any pruning on them now. I would wait until March to do your pruning. If the stem produced berries and you have evidence of that, that stem comes all the way back down to the ground because that stem will not produce again. The stems that have not produced at all, I would suggest that you leave up or cut back halfway because those will be the ones that produce your early crop in the season, and then the new ones next year that come up out of the ground will be what produce your fall crop. Okay?
Okay.
So in March, go out. Any stalk that has produced berries gets cut all the way down to the ground. Any ones that are already up out of the ground but have not produced berries, you can choose to either leave them long where you'll get one cluster of berries at the end, or you can prune them back halfway and they'll off branch and you'll get, you know, two or three clusters of berries when it off branches. And then the ones that come out of the ground in the spring will be what leave alone because they'll be what produces that fall crop.
Yeah, because there's got a lot of offshoots.
Yeah. Yeah, and those, you know, in many cases, those offshoots, if they haven't fruited this year, they'll be what fruits in the spring or early summer of next year. And if you're nervous about cutting those stems that are there that haven't fruited back halfway, if you're nervous about that, what I might suggest that you do is even get a more staggered harvest by cutting half of them back halfway. So the ones that are left long are going to produce first, then the ones that were cut halfway will produce a little bit later, and then the ones that come up from the ground will be your fall harvest.
Sounds like you're going to be a raspberry expert.
Oh, I like them. They're really tasty.
Yes, they are. They are. And it's great that you have a variety that's so long producing and that gives multiple crops, and this late in the season is fantastic.
All right. We've got to talk to Tim in Lower Borough, Nancy in North Versailles. We'd love to hear from you as well. 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com. It's Doug and Jess, the Organic Gardeners, for another Sunday on KDK.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020 KDK.
Hi, Joe and Frank Dantisi in the wings, getting ready to enter Studio K for the Coons Cooking Hour. And today it's all about your favorite Campbell soup recipes. But right now, Doug and Jess continue. And here's Tim in Lower Borough on planting garlic. Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, I got a Allison garlic to plant. How deep and how far apart should I plant that?
So for garlic, about 1 to 2 inches down and about 6 inches apart in good soil, and be sure it's well drained. As I said earlier in the show, I talked to another garlic fanatic who lost 3/4 of his crop. He was almost in tears. He said it was almost like losing a family member.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. His wife was like, "What's wrong?" He's like, my garlic.
Aww. Is it a special variety that you got?
It's from Burpees.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, split it up. Plant the biggest cloves. When the, those small those smaller cloves, leave those for the kitchen. The bigger the clove, the bigger the bulb. And then,
well, these bulbs are like golf size.
They're like what size?
Golf.
Golf ball size.
Golf ball size.
So yeah, split it up. Each clove will become a bulb. And so those cloves are planted, you know, like I said, a couple inches down, 6 inches apart. And then you got to have a nice blanket of straw on top. That makes a big difference, especially if we have a cold winter. And that's all you need to do. You might get some sprouting here with this warm weather as we get into the beginning of winter, but don't worry about it. These things happen.
Mulch leaves on it?
That would shredded leaves would be fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Enjoy the garlic. And then the fun part is next year, you get the greens that start off sprouting with the crocus, and I harvest those little fat ones from the middle. Harvest sparingly so that you're not taking away energy from the bulb. And then if you got a hard neck variety, you get the scape, which is just wonderful. In fact, Sister Trudy, all the sisters were telling me last night that Sister Trudy made my pesto recipe out of the scapes.
Nice.
I was just so excited that, you know, to pass it on. Then if you leave some of the scapes off the plant, there's enough energy in that stem that the little seed head will form these bulbets and continue to grow. I think that's an amazing thing in nature, mm-hmm. that it keeps growing without being attached to the plant. And then you pull that garlic. Usually it's about July 15, but this year we were pulling a little early because of because it was the stuff was ready. Another caller?
Yes, sir. Let's go to Nancy in North Versailles. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
Hi, good morning. Good morning to all. I had a question regarding ladybugs. Maybe at most a year I'll see 20. Well, Friday I was out on my back porch and I saw 20 all at once. And then yesterday around 4 o'clock or so, I went to the garage and I stopped counting at 150. Is there something unusual that's happening with ladybugs this year? Or why would I see so many?
Yeah, you just popped open a big old can of worms for me here with the ladybugs. So when you're seeing them, are they on the side of the house and on the windowsill? Yeah, okay. So those ones that are trying to overwinter in our homes are a species of ladybug called the Asian multicolored lady beetle. They are not a native species of lady beetle. Although here in North America, we have about 450 species of native ladybugs. None of them overwinter in your house en masse like that. So the sad part is that there's been a lot of research done, especially at a Cornell University, on the Asian multicolored lady beetle and its effect on our native ladybug populations, because the Asian multicolored lady beetle is super aggressive and it's actually outcompeting our native ladybug species. Mm-hmm. So while ladybugs are very good for the garden and that they help us manage a lot of pests, this particular species that comes and overwinters in your house is not necessarily a good guy, because we're seeing a decline in so many of our native species because of this competition. So I always say to people, you know, I used to tell them to collect those ladybugs and take them back outside. Now I say, suck them up with the vacuum cleaner and throw them out in the garbage, because they are really wreaking havoc on our native ladybugs, and they certainly don't belong here. They were introduced on purpose to help control citrus scale in the 1800s. So they've been around here for a long time, but their populations are just booming. And
you
and
get
it's
that
crazy.
Certain day
oh,
this
yeah.
time of the year.
My house, they're all over the front of the house.
I was at Kentuck Knob once, and it was just unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of them on like the sides of big wood structures and stuff.
And people think, because with the reason they're called Asian multicolored lady beetles, other than the fact they come from Asia, is that they're all different colors. So some of them will be yellow, some will be orange, some will be red, some will be more brownish. They'll have sometimes they'll have no spots, sometimes there'll be two, sometimes there'll be 16. They're a wide range of appearance. And so it looks like they're all different species, but that Asian multicolored lady beetle, if they're in your house or collected on the side of your house like that, that is the species that they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. I learned something new. I thought you guys would know, so I'm glad I called. All right. Yeah. Have a great day.
Well, thank you. You too.
Usually when you see a ladybug, it's good luck, but not in this case.
Yeah. And you know, I have mixed feelings, because obviously, you know, they're considered to be beneficial, even though they're not a native species, because they do control a lot of pests. But what Dr. Lucy and his team are finding at Cornell is really sad, scary stuff. I mean, the nine-spotted ladybug is this New York state insect. And for almost 30 years, nobody had seen a nine-spotted ladybug in the entire state because of the
this one
insurgence of the Asian multicolored lady beetle. Yeah. Yep. They're very, very aggressive. Who knew ladybugs were aggressive, right?
I like to know who the person is. One spot, two spot, three spot.
That would be me. I do that. I like to count the spots on the ladybug. You know, I have that much spare time, apparently.
Everybody needs a hobby.
What happens if you would connect the dots?
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be kind of interesting. Look, it's Leo. All right, we'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. It's 7:55. Coming up at 8 o'clock, latest from CBS Radio News, and then Campbell's Soup. What's your favorite Campbell's Soup?
Tomato.
Me too.
Oh, my gosh.
Chicken noodle's
That's
pretty good.
Pressure. I actually like cream of broccoli because I can use it in making all kinds of different dishes. I don't eat it like just as a soup, but I use it in casseroles and all that stuff.
Do you eat organic?
It's the most versatile.
Do you eat organic, too?
As much as I can,
really?
Yeah.
How about you, Doug?
Oh, yeah. As much as I can find it. Why not?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, considering the price, price difference between, like, bananas. It's like 20 cents a pound is the difference. Why not? I mean, Jessica told me that bananas are one of the big crops you want to have organic, right?
Yep, and strawberries, too, especially.
It's nice to sit next to somebody that's so smart.
Well,
stop talking about Rob. That's very nice.
Yeah, well, it's nice
to
sit next to you too, Jess.
Oh, okay, thanks.
All right, we'll be back. Stay with us, folks.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Is Radio 1020 KDK.
All right, just enough time for a Dollar Bank instant access question. We'll get the answer for sure. Ornamental grass, when should you cut it back?
This is a great question, and Jess and I do it the same way, but I want to remind Jess that one columnist I remember wrote about this, saying how ridiculous it was that people would wait until the spring to cut down their ornamental grasses and how terrible it was. But I love to leave mine up. I leave mine up just because I love the beauty of it. But there's other reasons to leave it up too, right?
There are. You always want to cut your ornamental grasses down in the spring. Number one, they overwinter better. Number two, it's great habitat for lots of different beneficial insects, our little native bees, butterflies, the good ladybugs, and all kinds of other beneficials. So leave them stand. It creates winter habitat for them. And it's gorgeous. They're gorgeous with the snow on them. And some of them turn a beautiful red color in the autumn. And why wouldn't you have that interest in the landscape all
winter
long?
What time do you usually cut yours back?
Usually around March. Sometimes I don't get to it as early as I would like, and it's, you know, maybe early April till I go out and I cut them down. But usually, you know, anywhere between 6-8 inches is where you want to cut them back to. And you can even leave up to a foot of stump on there after you cut them down, because a lot of them have like a hollow stem, and that's great insect habitat as well.
I wanted to quickly tell you about a crime against horticulture.
Uh-oh.
Where I jog, they have magnolia bushes. And I saw one day the magnolia bush was above the windows.
Oh.
And the next day I ran by and they were cut in half. And so the buds were gone. It's nobody's fault, really. They just, somebody inside said, hey, those bushes are covering the windows, and
there go their flowers for next year.
I wish they would have just asked somebody and done it in the spring after they saw those beautiful blooms, because I really enjoy those beautiful flowers every year. And it's just, before you make a pruning cut, think about it and do a little bit of research, and that will be so beneficial to the plant and enjoying your garden. Remember, the Organic Gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.